Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
The analogy here, Christian, is if God tells you to do something, don't look for help from somebody else. You go and do it. If you need someone else to help you do it, the blessing that you will get from doing it will be gone, because you didn't trust God enough to go and do His will. Chapter 5, Book of Judges on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear ye, O kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, and the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, rose. That I arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? No, there wasn't. They had done away with their weapons of war. My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses. Ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They are they that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water. There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of the villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinadab. Then he made that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among the people out of Michir came down governors, and out of Zebulun they handle the pen of the rider. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the rocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan, and why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death of the high places of the field. The kings Canaan and Tenech by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, the river Kishon, O my soul, thou hast trodden down straight. You could read from verse 11 to verse 24 40 more times today and get something different and something extra every time you read there. She's giving an entire analogy of the condition of each tribe right there. Mm-hmm. One's heart is searching. One doesn't even care to come. There are some that came. Some are looking for a revival in Israel. But you need to read that over and over and over again. I'm not going to bog you down here today and analyze each verse for the next 30 minutes. But that's what I'm talking about, between the lines. There is so much there. And the number, verse 20, they fought from heaven the stars, and their courses fought against Sisera. Who fought the battle, Jonathan? Who fought the battle, Jonathan? Straight from heaven.
Yeah.
Angels were there.
Right.
I mean, how do 900 chariots of iron get routed and destroyed. You don't do that.
No.
A chariot of iron could take out 50 men. It's that easy. You just ramble right through the platoon. 900 of these against 10,000 men. That's not even an even fight. I bet on the chariots every day. Unless I know the Almighty God has his angels there, which it says in verse 20. Oh, I thought that just meant the stars were aligned for that day on the battle. No, it was not.
No.
Everything is between the lines in this book. The most elementary meaning is what you read the first time. Then were the horse hoofs broken by the means of prancings and prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to help the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Cursings there. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. Wow. That's the one who just murdered that guy. No, she didn't.
Yeah, right.
She was one in Israel, a female that rose up and took up arms and helped the Lord destroy these people when the men wouldn't. And she just gave a rundown about how Dan stayed on his ships. He didn't bother sending anyone. You know, Naphtali, nobody. They just stayed where they were. They didn't care. He asked water. She gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She didn't give me anything that he wanted. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. With the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced the stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell and lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. So this great king comes in and asks this woman to hide him. He gets down on his knees in front of her and she covers him up. How the mighty have fallen. How the mighty of Israel have fallen. They won't even go to battle unless Deborah, the prophetess, goes with them. Mm-hmm. After she said, God just said, you're going to win. He's going with you. You don't need me. If you don't come with me, Deborah, I'm not going. Either she was very beautiful and he liked looking at her, or he had doubt in his heart. Right. I think he had doubt in his heart.
Same here.
Her wise ladies answered her, yea. She returned answer to herself. Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two. To Sisera a prey of divers colors. Prey of diverse colors of needlework, of diverse colors of needlework on both sides. Meet for the necks of them that take the spoil. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth down in his might. And the land had rest 40 years because Deborah rose up and came and championed Israel. And God saying in his heart, if the men won't do it, I'll rise up the women to do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't have a woman as a pastor of a church. If the men won't do it, God will rise up the women to do it. And I got another, I got an astonishment for you, Christian, that believes that. The New Testament says, in Christ there is neither male nor female. Equality, complete equality spiritually. Physically, no. The man still heads the woman in the spiritual household, in the carnal household. Spiritually, there's neither male nor female. God raises up a woman to pastor a church. That's because God wanted a woman to pastor a church. Because the men are not doing their job, just like it does right here in Israel. Chapter 6, Book of Judges. Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan, WVFF 97.7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Wow.
You can can almost start off each chapter without even having to read the first sentence.
It just astounds me. It just astounds me. Did the writer of this... Well, I mean, no, because Moses started... All of Moses' stuff started like that, too. I'm thinking...
Yeah.
Did they have like a one of them? You remember them crank copy machines?
Yeah.
And they like printed off the first page, and then they started writing, and that kind of got printed
right.
as the starting of every chapter.
Yeah.
And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Imagine that. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years.
After 40 years of rest,
one generation.
Yeah.
Just like last time, they got two generations
right.
out of the one judge. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, caves and strongholds. Wow, the Midianites had them hiding in the mountains and caves because they left them in the land. God said, remove them all, or they will be thorns in your side. Moses said, remove them all, or there'll be thorns in your side. Joshua said, okay, you didn't remove them all, but do not mix with them. Do not adopt their ways. Do not adopt their gods. And maybe they'll just die out. But as soon as Joshua died, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and took the Canaanites' wives for their sons and gave their sons as husbands and adopted their gods.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Midianites have the children of Israel hiding in the mountains. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till they came into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. Both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Imagine that. And they came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, a Benjaminite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites. What did you just see there, Jonathan? Number 14. And the Lord looked upon him.
Yep, and said, go. Yes.
That's no angel.
That's a straight charge. Yep.
That's no ordinary angel, is it? Host of heaven, yes. Jesus Christ, in one of his many appearances here, you know? Up above, there should have been a capital A on that angel.
Right.
They normally did that. But this one was missed, and I'll show you many places where it's missed in here. Christ comes to this world many, many times. The Word was, in the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God before the foundations of the world. And the Lord, capital L. You gotta look for your capitals in the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Anything pertaining to a title that is Lord or angel or God, if it's capitalized, it is the hierarchy of heaven. The Trinity in some fashion. But the writers missed a few. Oh, this Bible's perfect. The Hebrew version is. This English Bible's full of mistakes. I'm not saying mistakes in the way it presents God's word, no. Just little mistakes in letters. Little mistakes in letters, and there's even words that aren't in here that weren't. Like it says you turtle doves. In some places it only says turtles. Mm-hmm. You do not sacrifice turtles. I'm sorry. Book of Samuel has two conflicting stories. It's not because the Word of God is not perfect. It's because this English version is not perfect. The Word of God is absolutely perfect. In its message in the English Bible, it's perfect. But we have devoured this Bible to such a level that we look at every word and every sentence. Capitalizations on certain words. Because there's meaning there. You got to look closely. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Angels don't talk like that. Mm-mm. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Who's going to say the same thing here shortly? God doesn't pick the greatest and most beautiful among you. He did that with Saul because they wanted a big, beautiful, tall, muscular king. David's going to say this thing, same thing here when he's chosen king. Who am I? I'm of the least of the houses and a little shepherd boy. What does Gideon say here? I am the least in my father's house. Who am I to save Israel? God is no respecter of persons. The law is a respecter of persons.
Right.
God put the law there as a stumbling block to teach you the simplicity of all he wants. Follow me with all my heart, with all your heart. Follow me with all your heart. That's what the reoccurring theme of this Bible is the heart of man. That's all God wants. He says, I place the spirit in the heart because the mind is contrary to the will of God. It's up to the spirit man to gain control of the mind and subjugate this abominable flesh and follow after me. And when you fail, you get up the next day and you try it again because you will fail. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Doubt, 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 doubt. At least he's not asking for a woman to go with him.
Yeah.
Not that I've... Nothing wrong with women.
No.
You just have to look at the analogy there that God said go, and he says, I will if this woman goes with me.
Yeah, he's not looking for external help.
External help, yeah. And of the least of the children, because the masculine in the Israelites was the head. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes and epeth of flour and flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. That's quite a sign right there. But Gideon says, oh man, that's just not enough. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. The Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Orah of the Abizarites. So why didn't Gideon go to the altar in the tabernacle? You remember when they first got over there and the two and a half tribes went back over Jordan? They stopped and built an altar and all the rest of the tribes we're going to wipe them out. They're using a foreign altar. You can't do that. Moses says, this is where God's tabernacle is. This is where you sacrifice. Well, I tell you where these people are at this time. God doesn't even go to his tabernacle anymore.
Yep.
Gideon built another altar. That one over there, we're going to see what debauchery it has fallen into shortly. And it came to pass, same night, that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock, of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Wow. Father's worshiping Baal. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, and he did it by night. Doubt, 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 doubt. At least he's doing it. He just doesn't trust God enough to do it in daylight. How many Christians out there do things in private? When the situation arises, you should do it right there. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the groves was cut down, and it was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. They said one to another, who hath done this thing? When they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. And the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. I've been manicuring that grove for months now.
Yeah.
And cut it down. Bring him out here. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it yet be morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Never could understand that. God always took care of business himself. These other gods required the men to take vengeance for them. Mm-hmm. What he's saying here, if Baal is a god, let him deal with this situation. Therefore, on the day he called him Jerubbaal. That's always been a hard one for me to say. Jerubbaal. I got it.
There you go, yeah.
I knew I'd said it before. Saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and to Zebulun, and to Naphtali. They came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. I need more proof. I know your angel sat there with me for a couple days talking with me, and I laid that stuff on the rock, and flame come down, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. But I need more proof, God. I need just a little more. Jesus, I need a little more. Could you only do a little more on the cross so I don't have to hold on to the law? Behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast. So I'm going to lay out this little blanket in the morning. If it has dew on it, but the whole land around it doesn't, I'm going to believe you. But then I'm going to ask you for more proof. Mm-hmm. So it happened. Oh, wow. The blanket's wet. All the ground is dry. I got to have more proof. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning and thrust the fleece together and wringed out the dew of the fleece, a bowl full of water. That wasn't just a little dew. Mm-hmm. That was dew like in the garden in the beginning. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, but I need more proof, God.
Yeah.
And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and up on the ground let there be dew. Oh, maybe some kind of weird scientific thing happened.
Yeah.
Maybe it really wasn't God. Maybe that fleece, it drew the water out of the air and sucked it in, and the ground didn't. So I'm going to have God do it opposite this time. The ground's wet, fleece is dry. Can you do that for me, God? And then I'll believe.
Yeah.
And God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. How long will God suffer these disobedient children? The book of Judges is one of the most fascinating books. Read it over and over and over. You can get different things every time. Like that passage there of those 10 or 12 verses. Go back and read it over and over and over again. You'll find exactly what was going on in the entire land with every tribe. Been a pleasure to be with you here today on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. All of these episodes are on our website at WVFFradio.com. Please catch up with us. There are things in there that are in black and white in this Bible. There are things on those episodes you have not heard in church. The things on those episodes that your pastor would think were blasphemous. But I show you right here in black and white why it's true, how it's written, and why the story of your creation isn't exactly what they told you. There's a whole lot happened in the garden. It wasn't about an apple. There were two children in Eve's womb with two different fathers. There are two bloodlines in this world now that battle a spiritual warfare all the way up to the day when Christ returns. Whole lot of other stuff that we're going to show you. Just go back, WVFFradio.com. Catch up on the episodes with us. It's been a pleasure to be here with you today, and we'll catch you next time. Stay in God's Word. Read it over and over and over methodically. Read it out loud. Let it go into your own ears. It's the only way that you can absorb and have a full time with it. We'll see you later.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.